This is Pastor Darrell Bailey coming to you live tonight on Facebook and Sermon Audio. What a privilege it is to come and be with you tonight. We're starting up on our Bible study in 1 Peter for our Wednesday night Bible study. This series, The Testing of Your Assurance. The Testing of Your Assurance. I thank God each and every one of us, we're going to go through some times in our life that we're going to have a lot of things, difficult times and suffering that is going to happen. And so this is exactly what this type of series is going to be about tonight in 1 Peter, the testing of your assurance, amen. And so as we look at it tonight, we're going to talk about know that you're chosen of God. Know that you're chosen of God. It's the assurance that we have that when we're suffering, that God is going to be there with us. He'll get us through it. We may not be smelling like roses all the time, but God will be there for us. And so before we go into our Wednesday night Bible study, I want to encourage every one of you to, I'll tell you what, I thought I had put that on there, but maybe I didn't, but that's all right. But I'm going to go into our time of prayer and have a word of song. I want to encourage you, please, to remember the Underwood family this coming Friday. Keep them in your prayers as they'll have their time that they're going to go around and the National Cemetery, Georgia's National Cemetery in Canton, and have their graveside service. So you be much in prayer for that family and for LaVon, for the kids and the grandkids, all of them, the brothers and the sister that's coming around for that as well. So keep all of them in your prayers and keep us in your prayers that the Lord will use us in just that short time to be a blessing to that family as well. So don't forget those ones that we're praying for that are lost, but we want to encourage you to come out and be with us at People's Valley Baptist Church, 68 Lefford Lane, Cartersville, Georgia, as we come together to be able to have a wonderful time in the Lord. And so I actually had put my date up on there, but I guess that I forgot to save it on another one on here. Hey, you know what? When you juggle a lot of things, sometimes you're gonna have things like that. But you just got to keep pressing forward, amen. And so, please, I want you to continue remembering the rest of our families. Especially like I want you to remember the Bobby Grimes family as well. Keep them lifted up in your prayers in this time of grief. Also, my co-worker Tony Cantrell, his passing of his mother. Keep him lifted up and his family, and continue remembering all the needs within our community in Bartow County. Today was an inauguration day. There's a lot of tough things, a lot of good things maybe that's happening. Maybe people look at it different than you do, but either way it goes, we've got to walk that path, but we can only walk it with the help of the Lord. And so let him let his hand be in your hand. And I always tell you, you can preach a better sermon with your life than with your lips. And so tonight in 1 Peter, as we start out with our Bible study tonight, the testing of your assurance, because believe it or not, if you've got a faith that can't be tested, it's a faith that ain't no good. You're going to be tested. The Lord will test you. You know, you'll go through some things, but the Lord will be right there with you. Amen. And so tonight, remember those that are lost that we've been praying for. If you don't have a church family, come out and be with us at People's Valley. If you do have a church family, be faithful to them, amen. Go and tithe and pray and do what you're supposed to be doing with that church family. But if you don't have one, come and join us. Right now, we're only having our Sunday school at 10 o'clock and having Sunday morning worship at 11. Brother Bob Carroll is having 7 o'clock Bible study over there tonight. And I'm on the Facebook for those others that are not able to come and attend because of a fear of being able to come out to the house of God. And we're hoping that the Lord's going to alleviate this before long, and everyone will be able to get back in the house of God. Amen. There'll be no excuses or be nothing. Which, you know, it ain't your excuse. You didn't bring on the pandemic. You didn't cause any of this. But during these tough times, we've got to just do what we can do to get through them, amen, and it's only with the help of the Lord. And so for those that are elderly and those that are easily to pick up something, well, then they're staying home and they're looking at Facebook and doing Bible study on there. Those that are going out and being at the house of God, that's what they can do. Amen. And so you just be much in prayer for those needs tonight. Be much in prayer for Bob Carroll as he continues faithfully for many years to do the Bible study at 7 o'clock over there at 68 Lefford Lane in Cartersville, Georgia, at People's Valley Baptist Church as well. And so tonight, as we get into those ones that are lost, remember Rachel Zumach, Mark Pratt, Kara King, Heather Bentley, Jeremy Melissa Ruppel, Becky Benefield, Laura Skates, Renee Mann, family of five, Kobe Boyd, remember Ressie Bennett, Christy Campbell, Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, Mary Pruitt's Uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's cousins Michael and Danny, Mary Pruitt's nail guy Daniel, Darryl Pruitt's friend from Tampa, Florida, George Gordon, Jake and Joyce Sr., Dr. Pete Limpnack. Remember all these when you pray that God would save them by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. Hey, if you are saved, won't you let us know? I'd love to know if you're saved, amen. I praise God with you, amen. But if you're not, we're praying for you, amen. And so remember those widows and widowers tonight in our church family. That's Joyce Coots, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Sr., Sheila Sr., Sarah Turner, Brenda Weaver, Deborah Ruppel, Elizabeth Boucher, Linda Adams, and adding to that list, LaVon Underwood. Also our widowers, Jim Leahy, Sam Lewis, Earl Matheson, Todd Barnes, and Bradford Thomas, my uncle. Remember those that are dealing with cancer, Gail George, and my Uncle Bradford for the last 15 years has been dealing with bone cancer. Of course, he's also dealing with grief because my aunt that passed right before my mom passed was his wife, and he's dealing with that as well. Please remember him in your prayers as well. He's been a pastor all of his life for many years. Wow, I've always looked up to him and as a great admirer and a great example and testimony for all. So keep all them in your prayers when you pray. Don't forget, just bless the many pastors that are standing and trying to make do and do the best they can. Believe me, because Brother John Underwood, man, I'm going to tell you, I missed him so much right when this pandemic, because he's the cameraman. He does all the editing. He makes everything for a pastor's job so easy. And he had such a giftedness, and yet now the Lord decided to take him on after all of these months of 5 months of going through the heart operations. And we just trust him because we know the Lord knows what's best for us. But I'm going to tell you, it ain't always easy for us a lot of times, and so, for the Underwoods as well. So please, you remember all these needs tonight. Father, we want to thank you for watching over us. You brought us into the family of God. And Lord, we realize, Lord, that you created us. You gave us the uniqueness, the giftedness, the abilities that we have. And I pray, God, for the many that have not discovered those gifts, that they'll learn what they are and use them for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Father, I realize, Lord, that there's nothing that I can do without you. Lord, I can't win no battles. I can't save anybody. Only you can save them. Only you can change them. But Lord, you can work through us if we're a clean vessel that you can use, Father. Lord, that goes out to pastors as well. That goes out to deacons as well. And all of the body of Christ, that we've got to remain clean vessels that the Lord can use. Lord, I pray tonight, Father, that Lord, that we'll be living the life for the Lord and all that we do, Father, that we do what we say that we're supposed to do. Lord, I ask you tonight, that you'll just go into the many homes, and Lord, that you'll just continue to use those pastors, the husbands, separate and bring together in a mighty, mighty fortress the marriages, and keep them strong and bound up against the enemy and all that he could come against them. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just be with us tonight as we go into 1 Peter in verses 1 and 2 tonight. And Lord, we give glory and honor to you, that you'll change and save these lost sinners that need to be brought into the family of God before it's too late. Thank you for this great honor and privilege. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, let me see if I can get the tune right. Amen. Tonight, as we begin to look at this, and let me see if I can set something on here real quick. And that is, sometimes I forget to set the followers on there, but that's on Facebook, and that's what I wanted to do real quickly there. Okay. All right, as we look at tonight, not only is this dealing with suffering, but it's also dealing with obedience. Obedience tonight. I thank God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but his bliss if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. We appreciate every one of you first responders out there, all those healthcare workers. We remember all of those that are unemployed, those without jobs, for the students that are going back to school. That's a tough time for them, for all of our churches that are trying to regroup. As I was in Rockmart this afternoon, they were in a long procession bearing the city manager that had passed away with corona, COVID-19 virus. And so there's so many now these days. So please, I just want you to remember the need that's out there right now wherever you go. And so without any further delay, let's get right on into our First Peter, the series, The Testing of Your Assurance. The Testing of Your Assurance. Amen. I thank God here with our Wednesday night Bible study. We started a little early tonight, but this is January the 20th, 2021. That's the 7th of Shavuot of 5781 of the Hebrew calendar. Amen. I thank God as we look tonight about, we're going to be talking about all the way down to verse 12, but only a few verses at a time. We're talking about the subject of how to be secure through suffering. And the best way to do that is to know that you're saved. To know that you're saved, amen. And tonight, specifically, we're talking about know that you're chosen of God. I thank God. God chooses everybody. Listen, God don't bypass anybody just because they're on the other side of the tracks or because they're a Republican or because they're a Democrat or independent. God don't work that way. God loves everybody. God wants to bring everybody into the family of God. And I thank God to know that you're chosen of God is the subject that we're talking about tonight in 1 Peter, amen. And I thank God as we look at this tonight and begin to realize truly how blessed we are, because God has a purpose for everything that he says and does. And this first epistle of Peter was written to people who were going through some very difficult times, adversities that was taking place. And so I thank God as we look tonight, and we'll read the scripture tonight as we get into it. But I thank God as we look tonight, remind you that we'll be talking about in the scripture tonight the five provinces of Rome that's in this area. I thank God as we begin to look at this area. This will be put on your PowerPoint or PDF that'll be on sermon audio later if you want to bring it up. But I thank God in Bithynia, Cappadocia, Galatia, Asia, as we look at each one of those, each one of these areas, there's five of them that we go into, which is Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. All five of these that it starts out that it's talking about tonight in our Bible study. And I thank God as we look in the old days of time of taking where this is, of course you see Italy over here, but what is this area today that we're going to be talking about? Let's bring up something modern here. We're looking at Turkey. You see the Black Sea? And here's Georgia with Russia over in here in Armenia, Iran, Iraq, Syria. Right in from this area, right in here. I guess I should have put a circle on it. But this is the area of Turkey. And that was these five Roman provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, all that it was talking about here in 1 Peter 1, amen. And here we begin to look and realize some things about this, because one of the things that we begin to realize is how that this is teaching about a scattered family. You know, this first century church had grown very rapidly, and Satan is never happy when God is working and when God is progressing. And so the wicked one was about to unleash a host of fiery darts upon the young believers, of relentlessness of things that were going to take place. And so I thank God when we look and realize that tonight about this. And so we're going to get right in and put the Word of God up there. It's just these two verses that we're going to be talking about tonight, because there's a lot in it, and we need to talk just about those two verses to cover what needs to be said. Sometimes, you know, we'll bang, bang, and we'll go through them, and that's good too. But sometimes it's good to take your time to go through each one of these verses. And I thank God I'm only going to cover two verses tonight, unless I'm faster than I think I'm going to be in showing this, amen. And so I thank God. Here we look and realize as we put the Word of God up, it tells us, you'll see the English version on the right, or on your right, and my left, the King James. I'm going to be reading the King James. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. I thank God. He goes on in verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, I thank God as we look at this and begin to break it down for our introduction. Peter, he's writing to people who were hurting. He's writing to people who were suffering. And they were being ridiculed and persecuted because they lived for Jesus Christ. Sounds like very much today. You know, and everything that you see on TV. You got to really work hard at trying to watch something on TV today. You know, I mean, you got to tape all the Hallmark shows or go animated or something, you know, to get rid of the devil, because the devil's got his face on every screen in the television today. And so throughout the Roman Empire, believers have been attacked. They were being savagely persecuted, and so much that they have been forced to flee for their lives. And so they've been forced to leave everything behind, their homes, their property, their estates, their businesses, their jobs, their money, their church, their friends, and fellow believers. You know what? Believers had apparently taken their families and what belongings they could carry, and they fled for their lives. Peter is writing to the five Roman provinces where most of the believers had apparently tried to hide and find safety. But note how the church is continuing on as an underground church, amen. Imagine what's happening over in China. Wow, man, they're having so much salvation over there, even though the underground church is doing everything it can do, amen, to reach those that are need to be reached. Man, I tell you, missionaries are going at it and doing everything they can do, praise God. But imagine the fear, the uncertainty, and the insecurity, and the wandering about, and the searching for a safe place and for a way to earn a living. Man, it almost sounds like a sci-fi movie or some kind. Man, you're trying to find a hole to get in. You're looking for the exit sign. I tell you, every one of us, in some cases, the believers didn't know where their next meal would come from. And the church and its dear believers were fleeing for their lives. All the feelings that attack human emotions when a person is being hunted down for brutal slaughter were attacking these believers. Fear, concern, relentlessness, sleeplessness, anxiety, stress, uncertainty, insecurity, a pounding of the heart at the slightest shadow or noise that was taking place during this time. And so the believers desperately needed strong encouragement. But how? How were you going to encourage them? How do you shore up and strengthen a person that is suffering and hurting so much? How do you do that? You know, how can a person be secure through suffering and persecution? And so there's one way, and there's only one way. Listen tonight. We must know that we're saved, and be absolutely sure that we're under the care and the love of Jesus Christ. That is the thing that this first section of 1 Peter is all about. It clearly tells every one of us Christians how to be secure through suffering. How to be secure through suffering. Our security is knowing that we're saved. Our security is that we belong to God and are looked after by Him. Hallelujah. And I thank God to know that you're chosen of God. Amen. The first thing to know about our salvation is that we know that we're saved, that we're chosen of God. Amen. They're believers who are only strangers or pilgrims that are scattered over the earth. Amen. And so I thank God as we begin to look and realize tonight, as we do our Bible study, that we see that they was a scattered family. I tell you, how many different this audience is from the one whom Peter first ministers to in the early church. It's a scattered family, amen. I tell you, the 120 believers in Acts 1 had learned to expect opposition. And so no doubt they had relied not only on the Lord, but on each other to go through all of the fiery trials that they had experienced. And so I thank God we look and we realize that Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he says, listen to the strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Here is a scattered family. The chosen are believers, and they're strangers that are scattered over the earth. And so the description picture is being painted in 1 Peter 1:1. Believers are only strangers. The Greek word for strangers is parapodemos on the earth. It means pilgrim. It means sojourner. It means a visitor. It means exile. Basically, the idea is of a person that is visiting a place for a while, but yet they're not a permanent resident. Amen. We're just pilgrims passing through. We're strangers. Amen. Believers are citizens of heaven. Hallelujah. And their home is in heaven with God. Not on earth with the rulers of this world. The rulers and the people of this earth may persecute believers, but believers are here on earth only temporarily. Only as strangers. Only as pilgrims. Sojourners. And so it's significant that it means two things. It means that where we live on this earth, it does not matter all that much. Doesn't matter if the president's a Democrat or a Republican. You know? You say, yeah, it does. Doesn't matter if the Senate or the House of Representatives got the most votes of Democrats or Republicans. Oh, man, I'm going to tell you, we all the energy that's been wound up in all this stuff here lately, my God can take care of every bit of it, amen. But yeah, I know, I have some phobias and some fears of things like that that you don't know what to expect. But no matter where we live, it's not our permanent home. Our home is in heaven. And we may be forced to leave our homes and countries because of the trouble and the persecution. And we may be poor and suffer great hardships in this life. And every one of us may be so broke that we ain't even got a stone to take out of our shoe before this thing's over with. But we're only strangers and pilgrims on earth. And we shall soon be called to go home when the time is right, amen. To go to our permanent home in heaven, amen. And to be there forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm ready to go. Drop a hat. Amen. Let's get up and go. Amen. Praise God. But listen, let me tell you the sad note about that. Yes, you and I are ready to go. But there are so many that are on their way to the depths of hell. Because they ain't never made no profession of faith. And they've never stepped out and asked Jesus Christ to be the keeper of their soul. And so it means that we should keep our eyes and our minds focused upon heaven. Keep our eyes and our minds, amen, focused upon our permanent home, amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, focused upon how uncertain and insecure short-term all things upon earth really are, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize something's happening to my screen here. And let me see if I can get it out of the way. Hopefully we're still on. It shows so far. Boy, I tell you, sometimes the devil, it's the time, if he wants to mess with you or whatever we're doing, exactly what he'll do. I think he just kicked me right off, amen. Unable to start live video when I'm already been started live. Man, that's exactly what the devil does. Oh, man, I don't know. You're Lord, let me see if I can get it back real quick, amen. That's horrible. Man, I'm going to tell you. Wow, let me see if I can pause just for a minute to try to get it back. If I think I've lost it. Let's see if I can get it right back on there very quickly. Amen. Wow. That's exactly how the devil does things when you begin to talk about the ways of the Lord. Amen. And so let me see if I can get it back on fast here and just a little bit. We're trying to do the best we can, see if we can get it back on. Amen. Wow. Okay. Let me see what I can do to get it back on. Wow, something just ended my live video. But anyway, I'm taping on another source. Let's see if I can do it real quick. Okay. I'll see if I can get it. And we'll pause just long enough, see if I can get that back going. And if not, I'll pick right on, keep on going, because I've got another way that I'm taping this. And let's see if we can get it right back up and get it going. Amen. Give me just a minute here. We'll try to do the best we can. All right, let's see what we can do. Amen. Let me see if I've got you back. Okay. Amen. I tried to get back on there. Boy, I'm going to tell you, something knocked me right out of there, but praise the Lord. Amen. I'm back on that. Let me pick back up where I was. Amen. But it means that we should keep our eyes and minds focused upon heaven as our permanent homes and focused upon how short life is. We need to focus upon how uncertain and insecure and short-term all things on earth really are. Amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize that not only believers that are only strangers or pilgrims scattered all over the earth with a scattered family, but we're people that's been elected by God. Because we look at verse 2 and it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. You know, I thank God every one of us, we're actually called the elect of people that have been elected or chosen by God. And it means the most wonderful thing, because it means that believers have the highest position in all of the world. Amen. Let me see if I can, I don't know, I'm about afraid to touch anything on this thing because it comes off, but see if I can get my followers back on there again. I tell you, all the things that you deal with, hopefully that'll keep me back on there, but if not, I'll just leave it alone. But boy, I'm going to tell you, the devil is working hard trying to knock things off and to mess things up, amen. There we go. Okay, hopefully I'm still there. And so I thank God believers, they've been elected to be holy. I thank God every one of us, the word holy, that it means separated, means to be set apart, praise God. God called every one of us believers out of the world and away from the old life that it offered, amen. We've been elected to be the beloved of God, not only holy, but beloved, amen. So that sometimes we're rejected, sometimes we get denied, but if God loves believers as much as I know He does, He chooses and elects us to be His very own holy, beloved people. And God looks after and He takes care of every one of us through the times. No matter how ridiculed and abused and persecuted, no matter how poor, hungry, troubled, and distressed, and no matter how great the hardship, God will meet the need of the dear believer, the one whom He has elected to be His own. Amen. And so the truths of election and predestination were used by both Paul and Peter to encourage believers when they were suffering great trouble and hardships. There are wonderful truths to encourage us when we have to face the great trials of this world. Amen. But I thank God how believers are elected. Listen, they are elected by the foreknowledge of God. What does that mean, foreknowledge of God? The foreknowledge means just two things. Foreknowledge means that God sees the future. No matter how far a person looks into the future, God's already seen it. He knows about yesterday, tomorrow, and last week, and next week, if that's what He permits. God knows exactly what will happen, every single event, and the consequence. God knows exactly what could happen, but will not, every single possibility and its consequences. Well, I thank God. Foreknowledge means that God knows exactly what all men and women will do, every single act and every single consequence. God's one supreme overall view of all things, amen. All things of the past, present, and the future. And the meaning, the foreknowledge does not determine anything. It only faces and forecasts what shall be. And so it's somewhat like an astronomer who can foresee the exact position and the size of the moon on the first day of the month, amen. He knows the future because he foresees the events that will take place with the moon between now and then. But God has one supreme panoramic view of all the things of the past, the present, and the future. He can bring everything up like a screen like you're looking at tonight, amen. And so foreknowledge can mean two things. Foreknowledge means that God sees the future. And the second, foreknowledge means to foreordain or to determine or to appoint or to predestine. Definitely, it's the meaning in Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified the slain. Amen. I tell you, God did not just foresee the death of Christ. He foreordained it. And Peter himself makes this point. Because in 1 Peter chapter 1, look on down to verse 20. He says, Christ, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The foreknowledge of God is the most wonderful truth for a believer. God is in total control, amen. And so he not only can foresee all the events, but he can foreordain and control them and work them all out for good. Just imagine. Now, I'm going to tell you, God don't go out there and pick and choose. God goes. And I'm going to explain that in just a few minutes about what that means when you get saved and having the security of knowing that even though you're going through all the suffering that you're dealing with, God is going with you, amen. And so I thank God as we look at these things tonight, knowing about the different things that we're going to be talking about here in the next few weeks, amen. But tonight we talked about they are believers who are only strangers or pilgrims that are scattered over the earth. Right now, we talk about the people that are elected by God in verse 2, amen. The first thing to know about salvation is this. Know that you're chosen of God. The people that are elected by God. Every single event on earth is worked out for a good by God. And he works the events out for his people. No matter how much trouble and hardship we suffer, no matter how little we may understand, God knows and will work it all out for our good. Why? Why? Because we're his elect. His holy and beloved people, of what that means. The chosen of God, those who are elected according to the foreknowledge of God, elected because he foresaw them, he ordained them to be his holy and beloved people. Don't worry, we're going to talk about those ones that are elect that get saved, amen. That God, for you to be able to do that, you've got to accept the knocking of conviction through the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what we're going to get into in a minute. But there's a lot of folks that they don't even give God the time of day. They don't even care about God. They don't want to get saved. They ain't concerned about it whatsoever. And so they're not being bypassed. They don't care about it. They're the ones that's saying, I don't want you, God. I don't want nothing you got. And there's so many people in America like that today. And so believe me, but the first thing to know about our salvation is to know that you're a chosen of God. I thank God that they're believers who are only strangers or pilgrims that are scattered over the earth. They are also people that are elected by God. Amen. But I thank God that third thing, they're people set apart to God and covered by the blood of Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. I thank God that he tells us, he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Listen, through sanctification of the Spirit. Let me stop right there. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Amen. I thank God the Holy Spirit's work. The chosen are sanctified by the Holy Spirit and covered by the blood of Christ. I tell you, what does that mean? It means that a person cannot be saved anytime he wants or any way he wants. I've heard some people say, I get saved any old time I want to get saved. Oh, no, you won't. You got to come by the way of the cross. Amen. It means that a person cannot just choose some religion and some particular time of life to come to God. There's two things that are absolutely necessary for a person to be saved and to receive eternal life. Number one, a person must be sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. What in the world does that mean? To be sanctified, it means to be set apart unto God, to be made holy, pure, and righteous unto God. Listen, you can't do that. I can't do that for you. Can't no pastor, no deacon do that for you. Listen, God's the only one that can do that. to be sanctified, to be set apart unto God, to be made holy, pure, and righteous unto God. Before a person can come to God, he must be attracted and pulled to God, convicted that he should turn to God through the Holy Spirit of God. He must be convicted in that, and that he needs the forgiveness and acceptance of God. That's the first thing that a person must happen. They are sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is the reason that a man or woman must turn to God when he feels the conviction of sin and his great need for God. Hallelujah. The conviction is the Holy Spirit working within him or her, struggling to set that man or woman's life apart unto God to save him or her and to give him and her eternal life. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit wants every one of us to be God's, to be set apart unto God, living a holy, righteous, and pure life. And he wants us living with God forever and ever throughout all eternity. And so, but remember what is stated above. A person cannot just turn to God by himself by following some earthly religion or some earthly way to God. You know, the only way that a person can turn to God and be acceptable to God is by the Holy Spirit. And so that person must respond to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit draws and convicts him or her. I tell you, we must be sanctified, set apart unto him. You know what happens? People quench the Holy Spirit and they don't abide by it. Did I do it? You better believe I did in 1972 in the month of September. Hey, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me that morning, but I put my handprints in the back of that pew. But Sunday night, man, when he come convicted again, man, I went down to that altar, thank God. The stresses, the necessary responding to the Spirit of God, when we feel him working within our hearts, all of us have sensed him convicting us, and we have delayed making the decision. So remember what happened. His conviction left us when that happened. He spoke to us. He convicted us. He pulled us to make the decision. But we pushed it aside and we said, later. And he left us. That Holy Spirit did. The convicting and the desire to make the decision was soon gone because you rejected the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Now listen to the point. We must respond and respond immediately when the Spirit of God works within us. We must make the decision to be set apart unto God for salvation and eternal life. And to be set apart unto God to live a life that is totally different from the life that we've been living. A life that is more holy, that is righteous, and that is pure. And so, every one of us, it is the end or the purpose of sanctification. That we might be obedient to God. The one thing God wants is the same thing that any good father or mother wants, and that is obedient children. God wants us to love. He wants fellowship. He wants commune with him day by day and to follow his instructions. And God knows and he understands life, for he created life. And therefore, he wants the very best for every one of us in America. Wherever you're at, whoever you are, this is the reason that he's done so much to save us. Amen. His whole purpose, the very end toward which he has done all, is to lead us to a life of obedience. Obeying God is the only way that we can know a full and complete life, obedience and the purpose, and then to get ourselves towards sanctification. And so I thank God as we see this, we begin to realize that that's a tremendous thing. There are two things absolutely necessary for a person to be saved and to receive eternal life. What was the first thing I said? A person must be sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God, the convicting power, and accept it and repent, amen. But the second thing, a person must be sprinkled or covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means to be justified by his blood. I thank God, every one of us, as he says in Romans 5:1, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We've broken the law of God, and we have neglected God. We've ignored God. We've cursed God, rebelled against him, and rejected him. And so we've chosen to live like we want to live, to do our own thing, and we refuse to live like God says. Therefore, we stand before the law of God guilty. And with all law, we must bear the penalty of that law, the judgment, the condemnation, the punishment, the wrath of that law. And so we stand before the wrath of God, his law, his justice, and there's no escape. We've broken the law of God, and therefore the penalty has to be paid. But this is the glorious gospel. Jesus Christ has paid that penalty when he went and hung on the cross. As he was hung high between the air and the ground on that cross, He stepped forth and offered his life as a substitute and a sacrifice for every one of us. He bore the judgment and the condemnation of our transgressions. How could he do this? Because he was the Son of the living God, and he lived a perfect and sinless life. And when he was upon this earth, he stood before God as the perfect and ideal man, as the ideal righteousness that could cover all men with the shed blood and cover our sins completely. When he died on the cross, his death was perfect and ideal sacrifice for every one of us. His blood, the blood that he shed for us, was the perfect ideal sacrifice. Boy, I thank God his blood covered every bit of our transgression. The blood that, boy, I tell you, that's powerful. I tell you, I just get to thinking about that song, Hallelujah. Boy, I tell you, it just makes me want to shout, praise God. But the way that we're saved and the way that we receive eternal life, this is the way that we're made acceptable to God. By being sprinkled, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ covers all of our transgressions and makes us guiltless before God, perfect and acceptable to Him. Amen. And so, you know what? You're not actually being dunked by blood. Amen. But spiritually, His blood is covering you and has took care of every one of your sins and transgressions, because this is when you chose God. You had to step out on faith and say, God, I take you at your word, amen. People have chosen to come to God by being sprinkled with the blood of Christ. I thank God, every one of us that are in the family of God today have so much to be thankful for. And so I thank God. So far, we've talked about three things. We talked about believers that are strangers and pilgrims scattered all over the earth in verse 1. And in verse 2, we talked about people that are elected by God. We talked about people that are set apart to God and covered by the blood of Christ in verse 2. And then lastly, in verse 2, we come to the people who obey God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Because I thank God, as we look, the people who obey God in verse 2, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. Listen, still reading verse 2. Unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God. That's what he's talking about. That we obey God, amen. I thank God. The chosen have obedience. The chosen are the people who obey God. The only kind of faith that really saves a person is the kind of faith that is obedient and that diligently seeks God. Believing faith is obedient faith. A person that really believes in Christ, who really trusts the blood of Christ to cover their transgressions, obeys Christ. That's exactly what Scripture says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. I thank God, every one of us. Hebrews 5:9. Boy, I've been on this thing about Hebrews here lately, amen. But thank God it's powerful. Hebrews 5:9 says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And so the very end or purpose of sanctification, which is the very end of salvation's process, is that we might be obedient to God. And the thing that God wants is obedience. Obedient children. The very same thing that any good father wants today. Why? Why? Because God knows and he understands life. God created, he made life, and therefore he knows exactly how life has to be lived in order. Listen, in order to get the most out of life. Because many of you have not even experienced living yet because you haven't met Jesus Christ. Once you meet the Savior, then you will truly know what your capacity is and what you can do for the Lord. But right now, you haven't even explored that. You haven't even got to that point. And this is the reason he's done so much to save us. This is the reason that he has given every one of us, amen, his word and his instructions. His whole purpose, the very toward which he has done all, is to lead us to a life of obedience. Obeying God is the only way that we can know a full and complete life. And this means the most significant thing. The persons who are truly chosen by God are those who are obeying God. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're out in sin and you're a borderline Christian right now, you need to get yourself back straight. You ain't lost your salvation. But I'm going to tell you, a person that truly, they obey God. They follow what God's leadership, the Holy Spirit, sends out. Doesn't matter what a person may be professing. It does not matter to which church or religion a person may belong. What matters is obedience. Is the person obeying God? Is he truly believing and trusting and surrendering and casting their life upon Jesus Christ and his blood to cleanse them from all of their transgressions? I thank God. The reference of Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And so I thank God. Paul said, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness is to everyone that believeth." That means obeys. And so I thank God, every one of us, as Paul said, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Amen. And so I thank God. We're getting to our last point, because we talked about the believers that are strangers and pilgrims, that are a scattered family all over the earth in verse 1. We talk about people that are elected by God in verse 2. People that are set apart to God and covered by the blood of Christ in verse 2. People who obey God. But lastly, I thank God, we talk about the people that experience grace and peace. And I thank God. I said something about this Sunday morning, amen. There ain't nothing that can compare to the grace and the peace that God gives us. God will give you grace, mercy, and peace at your dying hour, that he'll show up and he'll be there for you and help you through those times. But listen, as we complete at the very end of verse 2, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." He says, "My grace and peace be yours in full measure." I thank God. The chosen people that experience grace and peace, amen. Grace is charis, the Greek word charis. It means the undeserved favor and the blessings of God. And so the word undeserved is a key to understanding grace, because man does not deserve God's favor. I don't deserve it. He cannot earn man's approval or blessings, no matter how much money or how less money or what job or whatever occupation. God is too high and man is too low for man to deserve anything from God. Man is imperfect and God is perfect. Therefore, man cannot expect anything from God. But man has reacted against God too much. Man has rejected God, cursed God, they've rebelled against God, ignored God, neglected God. And all of the time of all the things of disobedience, man deserves nothing from God except judgment, condemnation, and punishment. But God is love, perfect and absolute love. Therefore, God makes it possible for man to experience his grace, in particular the favor and the blessings of salvation, which is his son Jesus Christ. And so I thank God, every one of us being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so every one of us, it is not only grace that we read in verse 2 right at the end, but what was the other word? Peace. Garis, which was the Greek, but irene, which means peace. It means to be bound, joined, and weaved together. It's peace that we got. It means to be assured. It means confident, secure in the love and the care of God. And so to have a sense and a consciousness, a knowledge that God will provide, God strengthen, sustain, he will deliver us, he will encourage, he will save, give life, real life, both now and forever. And a person can experience true peace only as he comes to know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Only Christ can bring peace to a human heart, and the kind of peace that brings deliverance and assurance to the human soul. And so I thank God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Every one of us, we've got to believe and know that God has given us the greatest blessings. And so I thank God as we get ready to close out tonight and know that the Lord is so good to each and every one of us, that he knows exactly what we need when we need it and in the time that we need it as well. But eternal life, it doesn't guarantee exemption from Satan's attacks, because as a child of God, you are in Satan's sights. He wants to destroy your influence, your reputation, your testimony. Often during the trials that we go through, he swoops in and he takes advantages of us at vulnerable times that we go through, you know, when we're really hurting. God gives us the Bible to equip us for those times, his infallible word. But God also gives us the win, because we can win this war, but not on our own or in our own strength. It is only through the power of his word. Thank God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 says, "Arm yourself. Arm yourself. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I could go on and on, but listen. If you're listening to me tonight, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? You could say it in your own words, but if the Holy Spirit is convicting you tonight and he's tugging at your heart tonight, would you follow right along with me tonight? Understanding that I'm a sinner, but believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to free me from the punishment of my sins. I now receive him as my Lord and Savior. Listen, and from this day forward, I desire to live to please Christ and am placing my trust in him for the gift of eternal life. I'm going to tell you, if you say that and mean it in your heart, boy, I tell you, then as the Bible says, you know what? You just got saved. Because if the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart and you welcome it and repent and say, Lord, come in and be the keeper of my soul. If you prayed that prayer and the Holy Spirit was giving you that nudge of convicting you of your sins to come in, listen, the only thing that you can say now is say, come in, welcome to the family of God. Amen. Because God wants to save each and every one of you. Amen. He doesn't choose and pick. I tell you, with the Calvinism that's so popular today, that it's sad. You know, Calvin did a great thing, but there's a lot of things about that that people have really, really blown out of proportion. That is a subject all in itself. But I'm going to tell you tonight, hoping and praying that each and every one of you, as we come together, these are the five things that we talked about tonight. And I thank God as believers, we're strangers and pilgrims scattered all over the earth. We're people that's elected by God, set apart to God and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're also obedient to him, and we experience grace and peace because we are a part of the family of God. The first thing to know about salvation is this. Know that you're chosen of God. Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in his... It doesn't get any better. I thank God, every one of us, we're a part of the family of God tonight. Amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of you, as we close out tonight, I hope you've got something out of 1 Peter that's dealing with suffering, because we're talking tonight that the first thing to know about our salvation is this. Know that you're chosen of God. Amen. Father, thank you for this great opportunity. We lift up holy hands tonight. And thank you, Lord, for getting us back on the air with the contrariness of whatever it is that was trying to knock us off and maybe not let the Word of God be taught and the Bible heard tonight. Father, thank you so much. Lord, I know that there is an enemy every day that we contend with. Thank you, Father, for giving us the power to go forward. And Lord, even though that we're not going to be a bed of roses, but Lord, you'll be with us through no matter what. And Father, when our time comes, you'll give us grace and peace at the moment of death and pluck its stinger. Father, I thank you, Lord. Remember all of our families that are grieving and those, Lord, that are heavy-hearted. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.